was why!
Everybody, and welcome to episode 95 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who'll be replacing David Wright on ABC News, Brian. Brian, how are we?
All things considered, I'm keeping my head up. There's a lot of scary things going on in the world this week, but I've done a really good job making sure that none of it gets into my world.
That's all you can do. Sometimes you just gotta build that wall sometimes, Brian, to keep things out, to keep the bad stuff on the other side.
I have been trying to build that wall since 2016. It is the Democrats in Congress, supported by the fake news, that are preventing me from building what I consider to be a beautiful wall. It's going to be the strongest wall. We're going to use some of the greatest materials that are available, and I build things. That's what I do.
You are a constructor, not a divider.
It's all about making my world great again.
All right, well, let's toast to that.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Pause. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
So talk to us a bit about our competitors this week for Drink of the Week, Brian.
Well, we had two different beers going up this week. We had can you do that one? Because
La Reine.
Now how do you say that? It's pretty impressive.
La Reine, you just gotta roll your R's.
But I don't know how to do that.
I never did my Bob Hope impersonation for you.
I think you're going to have to do it right now.
Brrr, how about that Sally Struthers, baby?
Okay.
Brrr, Marlo Thomas, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, she always put a smile on my face. Anyway, we had two beers going up. The first one is
La Reine,
which has been described as an American wild ale, barrel aged for 18 months in neutral oak barrels. Oof. With the resident microflora. It's then reconditioned on hundreds of pounds of rhubarb, blackberries, boysenberries for over 2 months before it is bottle ready, at which point this tart fruited sour develops a beautiful royal purple with notes of rich berry to accompany Plenty O' Funk. That was going up against the great overnight celebrity from the fine folks over at Monday Night Brewing, which I would describe as an imperial porter aged in maple bourbon barrels. Personally, I'm looking forward to this one, mostly because it has an 11.5 ABV. Unfortunately, the public did not care about which beer I was looking for this week. Overnight celebrity pulling in only 33% of the votes, while
La Reine from Wild
wins with
Mind
67
Artisan Ales.
Not even close. 2/3 to 1. La Reine just literally overpowers her. It smells delicious. Have you tried this yet?
There. I have not tried it. I want your opinion first. You are a connoisseur. This is from the great state of Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar's state. I'm getting a little mixed signals from you. Talk to me.
It stinks. It does not smell good. Careful over there.
It's got a smell to it. I'm going to try not to hit the microphone again.
There is a funk. There is a definite funk to the nostrils. However, the party that is bursting out, it's like Studio 54, 1977, David Bowie doing cocaine off the ass of a midget. I mean, literally, listen, I've got a weakness for sour beers, and this is one of those more sour ones that I've had over the last few years. Ron, what are your thoughts?
It's very sour. It's very tart, but it's got a very good underlying flavor to it. You can really get the berry taste to the aftertaste. Like you said, it's got a little bit of a funk to it, but you don't really taste that. You just get the sourness, and then you get the nice berry finish.
But God, does it stink! It really. I mean, it's not a good smell. The word funk is quite appropriate, but there's no sense of that. While you sip the beer, I will say this to the fine folks over at Tavour, T-A-V-O-U-R, download it in your phone's app store. It makes life so simple to receive your favorite beer shipped to your house. Just a great collection that they offer you. Use the Ron and Brian Tavour code 525401. That is Tavour, T-A-V-O-U-R. Use the promo code 525401. Get $10 off your first crate.
You know, I was out with some folks from work last night. We went to a BYOB for dinner, and I had brought quite the selection of beers with me. And my boss was like, "Wow, you have some really great beers. How do you find beers like this?" And I was like, "Hey, just download the Tavour app." But I did not have my referral code to give her, so I will have to pass that along. Because you
Please
get $10
do so.
Off, we get $10 off. Everybody wins in that battle.
Tavour is the way to go. It's really a fun way of getting beers that are not necessarily available in your local beer store.
The only thing that is a bummer is when you get a beer that is really, really good, and then you just don't have the ability to just go out and get that beer because it's very limited. Drank one this past weekend from Ex Novo Brewing called Really Tied the Room Together. It was an IPA. Delicious. One of the best IPAs I've had, but it's not something that's readily available around here.
You know what's actually worse than that scenario?
What's that?
Is when you buy a beer from Tavour that has been aged in Chardonnay casks.
Mm. And
you think you're about to drink a beer, but really what you're doing is you're sucking on some bad Chardonnay beer, and it's terrible. That's worse. At least you got
I thought you were going to say the only worst thing is when you're just working your job at Miller Coors and somebody comes in and shoots up your workplace.
Jesus, Ron, that is just fucking dark. You're going there already?
I mean, we had that happen again. I believe they're saying 7 confirmed dead, including
yes.
the shooter. So this is the Miller Coors plant in Milwaukee, I believe, correct?
Yes. This is that's what they are reporting. The shooter is a former employee from what they are reporting. And reports are rather early. This took place earlier this afternoon. So details are somewhat unconfirmed. But what they're saying as of right now, we're looking at 6 dead, the gunman included. The number seems to move. They're reporting that the gunman is a 51-year-old Milwaukee man who worked at that plant.
Was it perhaps the Big Ragu?
I don't think so. But he did shoot himself.
Okay. And I will ask you again, I know I asked this question earlier, is there a bit of irony that Coors Light was once referred to as the Silver Bullet?
That's just bad taste, Ron.
Okay.
I, in the words of Melania Trump, who really, in my opinion, has become one of the greatest, if not just the, I was going to say she's one of the greatest first ladies we've ever had. But now, based on, you know, some of the things that I've seen her do, especially in this whirlwind India trip that she's just partaken with the Donald, I think she may have been one of the greatest women to have ever lived on this planet. She likes to use the phrase, be better.
All right. Isn't it be best?
Well, only one person can be best.
Gotcha. So everyone else should be better.
So yeah.
This did, the whole Coors Light thing did remind me of a story from back in my college days when I did an internship with the Attorney General's office, like a work study type program. And talking about one of the lawyers there was talking about like dumb lawsuits that he had studied while he was in getting out of school or when he was working or whatever in the private sector. But you know how Coors Light way back in the 80s had that slogan, like, you know, doesn't slow you down, silver bullet doesn't slow you down?
Right.
So somebody literally sued the Coors beer company under the argument that, you know, basically alcohol is a sedative. It's a downer. So it is impossible for it not to slow you down.
And good point.
So, and the court, Coors tried to get the case thrown out, did not, ended up just like writing this person a check to go away.
But that is
changed the entire advertising campaign.
But isn't that really where we are in terms of our legal system now, which is it's just easier to write a check than to fight the case?
But that's the thing. This was 40 years ago. So it's not like that's new. It's like this has been going on for a while.
You did a work study 40 years ago?
I'm doing the math wrong. 30 years ago. Pardon me.
You did a work study 30 years ago?
Well, I did a little less than 30 years ago.
Okay.
Because I was in college. But the case was prior to, you know.
You were not using your math skills in this work study.
I didn't use my gazintas properly. So
okay,
I apologize.
That's okay.
Also apologize, no racism this week. None that was brought to our attention. So we will be tabling this week in racism for another week. So that means last week's winner, Hans Berglund, he stays on the bench for one more week. And we will wait and see if there is anything that comes out. Brian, are you a little shocked in the lack of racism?
Not at all. If we all remember, Hans Gruber literally rolled over the competition, strolled right into the tower, walked right up to the 48th floor. The knew there was a safe. There was eight electrically secured locks. Brought in his main man to break down the locks, but knew that it wasn't that the only way that he was going to be able to break that last seal was by, basically destroying the competition in terms of racism. That would bring in the FBI, who would shut off all electricity to the block and get knocked out of the building in the end. One of the great deaths in action movies of my time.
Personally, I hope Hans continues to win when we get competitors again, just so I can have you... give an encapsulation of Die Hard each and every week. That is enjoyable for me. I'm sure we'll do it again next week.
As if I did not do it the same week beforehand.
Yeah, pretty much. You worked in. I mean, I'm gonna wait. You got to work in Carl from Family Matters.
I will.
Because he was.
They didn't really. The thing was, they didn't really interact in the movie.
No, not till the end, really. They talked on the walkie-talkies, but they didn't even get to see each other. And you know what? It wasn't about the color of a man's skin. It was one man helping another man.
Shoot the glass.
All right, let's keep things rolling here.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
So if I may be so bold, Brian, my beef this week is the debates. I'm already a little sick of the debates. You know, we had two in 2 weeks, which seems pretty close to have them together.
Yes.
But it's such, I feel like there should be a better way for them to run the debate, to structure the debate, so you don't have, like, all these people on stage. When one person's talking, the other ones are all raising their hand like the over-anxious kid in class, like, over here, Mr. Kata. And it's like, it drives me crazy. And then, from what I understand, Mike Bloomberg paid to have an ad play during the debates.
That he did. He did,
I mean... a tremendous amount of chutzpah, I will give him that much. But I would argue, should that have even been allowed by who broadcasts the debate? Was it
CBS? It was on. No, CBS. It was CBS yesterday.
So, you know, you would hope that CBS, as a hosting network, would have had the integrity to say, no, we're not going to play any political commercials during this 2 hour, whatever, how long it was. So again, kudos to Mike for being like, screw it, I'm just going to play an ad because that way I'll know I'll get my voice heard. But yeah, I'm just kind of sick of the whole process by this point.
I believe that the deal he has with the different networks is that he is guaranteed, based on the budget that he's willing to commit to, he is guaranteed one Mike Bloomberg 2020 ad every 8 minutes on all of the major channels. So I think it is a coincidence. I think it's a coincidence that it was played during the debate. However, I would like to, I believe I'm correct here, that regardless of what was on, you are going to see multiple Mike Bloomberg ads during that hour.
All right, that might be a fair point. So I'll give you that. What's bothering you this week?
I hate to repeat a beef of the week. I hate even more to steal a beef of the week from you. But my beef this week is the United States Postal Service's delivery person for my packages over the last week.
Oh, and why is that?
All right, I've gone on a little bit of a spending spree.
Ooh, dropping some cash.
Doing some upgrades, we can call it. I bought myself a lounge chair with a matching ottoman. I also purchased a new what do they call those mesh routers? Wi-Fi routers. I picked up one of those, but I would say that there was about maybe 4 or 5 boxes packages that I had delivered over the past week, and. Especially, and the chair came in a 40-pound box.
So heavy.
This thing is huge. Not overly heavy. My problem is the fact that I live in a 7-story apartment building, and the delivery person left all of these packages in the lobby by my mailboxes. Not one delivery person this week brought my packages up to my apartment door, where at least they would be more secure than putting them in the front of the building.
I can see why that would be a problem for you.
They used to bring my packages upstairs. Over this past week, suddenly all of them, even small packages, you know, unlike my crotch, but even small packages, they just literally threw down by the front door and just tossed them there. And I have zero faith that my neighbors are not going to steal my shit.
Do you feel perhaps maybe your regular postal carrier is on vacation this week, and maybe there is a backup?
That had not occurred to me.
Just going to throw that out there. I will ask for an update next week and see how your package is.
Well, I took a look at my credit card bill, so I'm not sure I'm going to be ordering many things over the next week. I believe it's kind of in a, hey, tamp down this shit, Brian, because... I need to focus on future goals. One of the things I've been doing this week, I don't know if you have, but towards the latter part of last week, I decided I'm going all in on the stock market.
Okay.
I'm going to take my savings, and I said, you know what? I'm going to throw it in some blue chips. I'm going to throw it in the NASDAQ 100. I'm going for, you know, some of the big companies, especially. And if you look at the run the NASDAQ has had, a lot of these companies that have got, you know, do most of their manufacturing overseas in China or whatnot, saving a lot of money on labor. I said, this is where I'm going to put my money. So haven't looked. You know, they say if you're going
to
invest.
You put it in today, right?
No, like today
was the day you invested?
I invested Friday right before the end of the bell. I wanted to make sure that my money sat there so that all the good news that was going to happen over the weekend, I would be able to get the success of the stock market. So I've been able to, the way I see it is, and obviously I'm not expecting 8% returns, you know, on a daily basis. I mean, obviously yearly, but last year, you know, NASDAQ went up about over 40, 50 points. You had the S&P 500 go up about 30%. I'm really, I think that, you know, I leave my money in the stock market for, you know, a week or two, and I should be able to pay off my credit card bills.
So you might have wanted to wait. If you had asked me last week, should I put my money in, I would have told you...
Don't buy.
Because there was a train a-coming, and yeah, that was the hit of the coronavirus fears, and the stock market pretty much dropped a little over 1,000 points in the last couple of days.
What?
The House of Pain.
So, you should have listened to my... I'm afraid you might have lost some money.
That's impossible. Well, so, let's take a look at it. I mean, there's no reason why, you know, over the past 5 days. Oh, I hope. Ooh. So what you're saying is that a week ago, the Dow ended the day at around 29,000 points, and right now it is hovering just below 27,000. So you're saying that the Dow lost 2,000 points over the past week.
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I can tell you the Ron portfolio, after having seen a 31% return in 2019, is now seeing a 7% loss this year so far.
How much?
7%. But that's also taking into effect that it wiped out the 31% gain.
Wait a second. So you lost the 31 and now you're down 7?
You are correct.
You've lost 38%?
As of basically the last month, yes.
Wow.
I moved some money around. I'm in a long-term stock that I feel will build back up. See, this is the trick. When the market drops significantly like this,
buy.
That's right. You go out there and you
buy.
You get that. You get that cash.
Unfortunately, I'm already 100% in. There's nothing left for me to put in.
You know what you don't want to do then?
Sell.
Don't sell. You don't lose money until you sell, Brian.
Understood. What is your advice to the casual investor right now, Ron?
And my advice is do your homework. Start small. Buy smaller stocks first. I use an app called Robinhood, so you can do it right on your phone. And look for stocks that have bad days but traditionally good returns. Buy low, wait and see how they build themselves back up.
Okay.
That's all. That's all I got to say. And if you do it well,
House of Pleasure.
That's right. You can be in the House of Pleasure, Brian. I got a whole bunch of new sound effects to play with. Anyway,
can we hear some more?
What else do we got here?
All aboard!
Well,
that's going to be you if the stocks keep going down.
I believe that. Well, that's going to be me when I check my portfolio. That, I believe, sound effect was taken directly from last night's South Carolina Democratic debate. Ron, how much of it did you watch?
I was out last night, so I did not really get to capture the debate live. I had to read up about it afterwards. What was your take on the debates?
It was sad to watch because it felt like it was the opposite of the Nevada debate. The Nevada debate, I felt, was, for the most part, people putting their best foot forward. There was a lot of talk of, these are my credentials. There was obviously a lot of attack on Mike Bloomberg in Nevada. This was his first foray into the Democratic debates. He had spent about $500 million advertising. And this was the first opportunity for the Democratic candidates to really go after him. But other than putting that aside, there was a lot of, this is why I'm qualified. Yesterday's debate in South Carolina was almost the complete opposite of it. It was, for the most part, like watching ungrateful, spoiled children arguing at the dinner table. It was sad to watch people who are putting themselves forth as being the most qualified person to run this country for the next 4 years, being unable to follow the rules of the debate. If somebody's talking, you let them talk. If the moderators are asking a question, you shut up. It was literally a nonstop barrage of people speaking over each other. The rules of the debate, putting aside the candidates, the rules of the debate were horseshit. And I know that's not necessarily a word that the analysts over at Meet the Press would approve of, but It was, first off, it was a, because it was hosted on CBS, what they did was all the moderators were part of their news team. So this,
so not, I mean, a lot was, of diversity there.
No. It literally was watching whatever their AM show is in the morning. And what I felt was a tragic part of this debate was the sense to me was that each candidate would get 45 seconds to answer. And because almost every time a candidate started speaking, within a very short period of time, the moderators would try to cut them off. So they never really had an opportunity to really get a point across. Then they had this incredibly bizarre rule where if a candidate that was speaking name checked another candidate, that candidate got an opportunity to rebut. So they would ask Bloomberg a question, and he would immediately say, well, the reason why I think that I'm the best candidate is because you're not going to have Bernie Sanders beating Donald Trump. And then immediately you had audience members booing. So the people in the audience were not even well behaved. And so Bloomberg would go on the attack on Bernie, and before he even had finished his thought, moderators interrupt him and go, Senator Sanders, because you were name-checked, you get the opportunity to rebut. And if Sanders references Mike Bloomberg, suddenly Bloomberg gets an opportunity to talk again.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. As I told you, my beef of the week, they got to figure out a different way to do this. I also read that probably the one performance that dropped off the most from week to week was that of Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
I think she found it very difficult to capture lightning in a bottle again.
Jesus. Ron.
Right, it's that. Hold on. I it may not be who you think it is. I left a Hot Pocket in the microwave, so maybe it's just my wife knocking about that.
You really think so?
Oh, shit.
I'm back, boys.
Hello, yeah. Senator Warren. How are you?
I'll catch lightning in a bottle and then cram that bottle straight up your ass.
Oh, Jesus. Where
There's no need
that?
To be vulgar. There really isn't.
Brian, do we need to talk about the Bloomberg 2020 ball gag you had delivered this week?
Well, you didn't mention that when you're talking about your deliveries, Brian.
Well, I wasn't going to mention all of them. I didn't think that needed to be said.
All right. Sorry, Senator Warren. What? Why is it you're here?
I'd rather talk about Holly, a voter from Florida. I met her this week, and she told me she was leaning towards voting for Mayor Pete. And I hit her upside the head with a ratchet. Bet Medicare for All is important to you now, isn't it, bitch?
Oh, my God, Liz, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you're coming down to our podcast. You know, this isn't a national platform. I mean, we are a global platform, but we haven't really knocked out all 50 states. But there's really no need for Liz Warren to come down here and just insult us like that.
No, I would
agree using
with that,
such
Senator
language.
Warren.
Remember, boys, I'm always watching.
Okay, I mean, it sounds a little threatening.
Bye, bitches.
Oh, gosh. Well, she did something yesterday that really struck me as out of character.
Which was?
She went after Bloomberg and quoted him as telling a female employee who told him that she was pregnant that, quote, kill it was Bloomberg's directive to the woman.
Okay. And you had an issue with that?
I don't believe there's any proof of this.
Okay. Oh, which is very possible.
And when Bloomberg sat there and said, that is not true, I never said that, that is not true, immediately Elizabeth Warren just skipped right over to the, well, you've got women in non-disclosure agreements, so are you going to release them all?
So you're kind of taking the Chris Matthews tact on this, that you believe him and not the women.
I'm saying this. I believe that... Why are you smiling? You've got this smile on your face like you think you caught me, like you got me. Like he nabbed me. First off, Chris Matthews, salt of the earth guy. Just a great, great man. No, but I think that before you go up there on a nationwide debate, to sit there and say that Bloomberg told a woman to kill the baby, I think there's got to be a little bit more backing than, oh, well, this woman's not allowed to talk about it officially, but somehow I am.
Right. I would agree with that. I think that's a fair statement that you should have.
It wasn't the forum for it.
Some backup for the statement you're making. Especially, you know, you would assume that whoever gets the Democratic nomination is going to run on the platform of being truthful and being the opposite of Donald Trump. You need to carry yourself with a little bit more integrity during these debates.
It was actually embarrassing watching these people who are going to sit there and try, and whomever wins is going to get up there to say, I am a better person than Donald Trump. And they all behaved like as if they were sinking to his level.
Well, it may not even matter, as it turns out, because in looking at some of the polls for the primaries coming up, we do have South Carolina coming up this weekend, where now Joe Biden only has a 5-point lead over Bernie Sanders. Joe is polling at 27%, while Bernie is polling at 22%. This is a state that a few weeks back, Joe Biden led by more than 20 points. And, you know, I had made the comment a few weeks back that if he's going to lose, or if he's going to, you know, he's going to get some sort of comeback, he needs to do well in South Carolina. It's not just a case of winning. He needs to win definitively. And he could very easily lose South Carolina at this point.
Well, I think
what's that?
I was just going to say, I think we're hitting that stage where it's looking like it's Bernie. I mean, he's pretty much taken the first three states, and albeit these are not necessarily large electorate. Did I say electorate? I meant delegate. These are not large delegate states, but it is a delicate situation. Nothing?
Well, if you look at 538 has polls for the upcoming Super Tuesday, which obviously there is a number of races being contested on that day. I think it's 11 or 13, something in that range. You know, Bernie is right now projected to have a big win in California. He's now favored by 89%. Probability to win the California primary, but he's also doing quite well in states of some of his opponents. If we look at Massachusetts, he's got a 58% chance to win the state, while Liz Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, is only at a 25%. You go out to Minnesota, it's a toss-up right now. Bernie's got a 47% chance of winning, while Amy Klobuchar also has a 47% chance of winning.
It's looking like Bernie's got this.
And he's favored in every state except for one. This should not come as any surprise. Alabama right now, big on Joe Biden. Joe Biden's got a 61% chance of winning Alabama.
Now, when does Alabama vote?
It's on Super Tuesday. So basically on Super Tuesday, you've got California, Texas, North Carolina, Virginia, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Colorado, Tennessee, Alabama, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Utah, Maine, Vermont, and of course, American Samoa.
Now, you know that I'm woke, correct?
You're so woke, yes.
My wokeness credentials cannot be questioned.
Okay.
When is Super Tuesday?
It is next Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, March, I think it's 4th.
So it is a week from yesterday.
Correct. It's in the crosshairs. Yes. So after that point, 538 is projecting Bernie Sanders to walk away with as many as 587 delegates, possibly more. Joe Biden coming in second with 305, Bloomberg 211, Warren 132, Buttigieg with 70, and Klobuchar coming up with 38, most of them in her home state of Minnesota.
Can I ask you another question?
You can always do that.
What is a brokered convention?
I believe a brokered convention is a convention where no one has gotten to the convention with enough delegates to secure the nomination. And so then basically the parties, you know, negotiate amongst themselves to, you know, say, all right, if you give me your delegates, I will, you know, give you a cabinet seat, or, you know, the typical politicking that goes on, and you know, trying to get enough delegates shifted over so that, you know, someone can get eventually enough delegates to snatch the nomination.
Got it. Because I read somewhere that Bloomberg that Bloomberg's only route for victory here is a brokered convention. And I did not know what that meant.
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, you know, because he entered the race late, you know, because he's kind of, you know, finishing third, fourth, fifth, you know, he'll get a decent amount of delegates. But again, he's got no chance of getting enough delegates by the convention to get the nomination. But, you know, Biden, Bloomberg, Warren, you know, they could hold enough delegates back from Bernie Sanders to where Bernie doesn't have enough going onto the convention floor. And then so it's all up in the air. And then, you know, if you go through the first round and you still have no majority, you still haven't clinched the nomination, then the superdelegates come into play. And then I think all bets are off at that point.
Now, the superdelegates, wasn't that the thing that was going to prevent Hillary Clinton from winning last time?
No, the superdelegates are what really enabled Hillary Clinton to win. It kept Bernie Sanders from winning because a lot of the superdelegates had committed themselves to Hillary Clinton way before any of the primaries.
I thought that Bernie didn't win because the Democratic National Party rigged the entire caucuses and primaries and debates so that Hillary won.
I mean, there certainly was that, and it also hurt him, the superdelegates, because even with being handicapped in the 2016 primaries, you know, he still made a run at it, but with those superdelegates in play, it just pushed Hillary too far ahead from him to even have the chance of even having a brokered convention. You know, that's why he was hoping to carry it all the way to the convention and then try and get delegates to switch over. So that's why they've removed the Democratic Party got such pushback from the use of superdelegates in 2016. That's why the superdelegates don't go into play until the second round of votes. You know, it gives the candidates a chance to clinch the nomination based just on the delegates they can gather through primaries and through caucuses and get that delegate count in the first round of voting to clinch the nomination.
So the superdelegates are not involved in the first round.
They are not.
So now my next question is the Republican convention. Why have we not heard about that?
I mean, there's really no. I mean, they are having one, obviously. They are having primaries, but for the most part, you know, Joe Walsh stopped his campaign. I believe former Governor Bill Weld is still out there, but you know, Trump is clearly, you know, the Republicans had a caucus also in Iowa, which Donald Trump won. Every state that we have primaries in has a Republican election, but you're not really hearing much because, you know, Donald Trump is either winning so much of the vote or, you know, in certain states like South Carolina, you know, South Carolina passed laws to put no other candidate on the Republican primary other than Donald Trump. So he's obviously, you know, going to walk away with it. So it will just really be a formality at the Republican convention.
And a party.
For him to accept It'll be a the party. Nomination. Right.
Got it. Any idea where that party, where the convention will be?
You know what? I do not know. I'm sure
wondering,
it's picked.
Is there any way that we can send our Republican correspondent, Scott Kay from Saratoga Springs, to that convention?
I mean, we can certainly reach out to him, see, you know, where he's going to be at that time. So that is going to take place August 24th through August 27th. It's actually very, very late this year.
Well, just like most of the girlfriends that Donald paid to have abortions.
And that will be in Charlotte, North Carolina.
So, that's Republican area.
Well, less and less when you look at it. I mean, it's a Democratic governor in North Carolina, and both houses of Congress in North Carolina went blue this past election. So, you know, North Carolina is definitely one of those purple states. So a good chance of them trying to just drum up some support and maybe get things switched around. A Democratic National Convention will take place a month earlier, July 13th to the 16th, and that is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, maybe we should avoid any tours of the Miller Coors campus.
Very possibly. And so here, for your edification, there are a total of 3,973 delegates up for grabs in all of the primaries. Someone will need to collect 1,990 to secure the nomination.
Now, will they be collecting them in baseball card packs like I did when I was a child? Like, is there another way?
They, I believe they put them in like those CD plastic holders that you can then zip up.
Okay.
Very similar to that.
I got to flip the pages.
Yes, I got to see a better debate on last night. Yes, I was at City Winery in the Philadelphia Fashion District to see Trump versus Bernie, the debate. Comedians Tony Atamanik and James Adomian doing their Trump and Bernie Sanders impersonation. They did it in 2016. Some of you may know Tony from his show, The President Show, that was on Comedy Central last year. And then, of course, James is well known for his Bernie Sanders impersonation, his Jesse the Body Ventura impersonations. He's got actually a very good podcast where he will do various impersonations and bring in other people to do impersonations and kind of do a little back and forth. So this was, you know, basically done in a debate format, which they made fun of the typical debate format. They had a moderator who said, you know, I will be here for the candidates to railroad over and not listen to me as they take additional time. And sure enough, that's how it went. Both guys, very funny. Great show. What was surprising to me was there was definitely a lot of heavy social messages delivered during the show, primarily by Tony. You know, him being the Trump character, I think he was fine being considered the natural villain of the night. And so he typically plays Trump as, you know, the buffoonish character that we've come to know him to be. But then he would, you know, go on these rants about, you know, social injustices and, you know, really, you know, at one point really tore into white privilege. As being a big issue where, you know, you have a bunch of people that, you know, look at, you know, what happens with migrant families, immigrants, but that's where, you know, people's anger end. You know, they don't do anything about it. He likened it to 1932 Germany, where, you know, Germans were like, oh, another Jewish person had their business shut down. Man, that's a shame. You know, whereas the same thing with kids being separated from their families, like, oh, that's terrible that they were separating these families, but no one does anything additional. And also calling out politicians on both the left and the right for taking advantage of the African-American and Latino community and only paying attention to them every 4 years when it's time for an election.
Okay.
And like, no, and it was as a white person, it was extremely uncomfortable at times. But, you know, I think the best comedy is dangerous comedy, where, you know, we literally were there to have a good time. And he was like, listen, you know, these are some of the reasons that society is fucked up. And we as white people, including himself, have to be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, what have we done? What more can we do to help all of society?
That's not really taking place, is it?
Well, that, you know, his hope is that maybe that can happen. You know, and another rant he went on was talking about, you know, part of the reason that people hate Trump so much is because in a small way, you know, we are all Donald Trump. You know, we're petty at times, we're angry at times, we're mean and cruel at times, we take advantage of our position in life at times. He's like, so one of the reasons you all hate me, you all hate Donald Trump so much, is I remind you of every bad thing about yourself and the people around you.
Fuck you, Ron. Fuck you. You don't need to make me feel like that.
Well, and it was, like I said, I mean...
It's actually a really... Jesus, I mean, that's a... You know, anytime you can make a comment which causes introspection on the part of the listener, I mean, I tip my cap off to you.
Well, and it really was a case of, like, I mean, they had the whole room laughing. And then he would go into one of these rants and like, everybody would be like, oh... You know, made you think, and I will say, when he talked about the disregarding of African American and Latino communities, I mean, the African Americans in the room were like, yeah, they were like, you just pretty much nailed it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he took ownership of it himself, even though in character. But it's a good point, you know, for the outrage that we all have, what have a lot of us really done to do anything about it?
Nothing. Right. We none of us are doing anything. It's not a world where we are involved.
So his hope and you know, and Bernie Sanders, James as Bernie, you know, we're saying, you know, we need to make sure that Bernie gets elected and that we can start fixing everything that's been broken for the last 4 years, because the country can't survive another 4 years of Donald Trump.
Right.
And then they wrestled to Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb at the end.
Oh, my God. Is that poignant? My goodness.
It was a lot more deep of a comedy show than I was expecting to go see.
Nowadays, anytime you can be entertained and be forced to think, I think that's maybe why our podcast has become such a global sensation.
The zeitgeist that, you know, that it's become?
Well, you know, it's become part of the must listening in the Beltway.
Yes, without a doubt. What else has been going on this week? Oh, coronavirus in the news again. Donald Trump giving a press conference at 6 o'clock earlier tonight, announcing that Vice President Mike Pence is going to head up the coronavirus for the United
States. Okay, mother. Okay,
so
mother.
We're pretty much all screwed.
Well, it's, you know, I think, you know, it basically the message that he's sending, you know, that I hear is that we're just going to be doing a lot of praying. You know, our best defense against coronavirus is that we're just going to pray to God. And God's going to prevent the spread of this disease that he has already allowed to spread. But because we are, we view ourselves as favored religious patrons, somehow God's now suddenly going to listen to us.
And I think people need to just keep in perspective, you know, I mean, obviously the coronavirus is going to spread. People are going to get sick. People are probably going to pass away. But when you look at it as far as, you know,
I think we've already lost 2,000 people.
Well, but again, if you look at it as a cause of death, I pulled some stats. And this is average number of deaths per day. So coronavirus right now, averaging about 108 deaths per day.
Okay.
Doesn't sound great, right? Domestic violence averages 137 deaths per day. Sudden infant death syndrome, 144.
SIDS.
Killed by snakes, 274 people a day.
Globally.
Why are we not cracking down on snakes?
Now, maybe, and I'm just throwing this out there, there are more people that are exposed to snakes on a daily basis, and the reason why the coronavirus numbers are so low is because on a global level we have done a great job preventing it from being exposed to the masses.
But look at influenza, just in the United States, the common flu, 650 people per day die.
Oh.
Yeah. Right? I didn't even realize that. Malaria,
I had no
almost
idea.
1,600. Alzheimer's, 1,900 a day.
Whoa. Who the fuck is dying from malaria nowadays?
I mean, I guess if the snake bite doesn't get you, the malaria will.
Don't you just take an iodine pill and you're okay?
Apparently, not everybody has those pills. What else here? Stroke, 13,689 deaths per day. Heart disease, almost 25,000. And cancer still tops them off at over 26,000 average deaths per day.
Oh, okay. So that's really not... it's not looking good. Let's put it that way.
It doesn't look great. I mean, the one thing I will say is the coronavirus has a higher average death rate than the regular flu. But it is a case of where we do need to be careful for the young, the elderly, and any person currently dealing with a major health situation.
Can I tell you something I saw today for the first time?
You, of course.
A non-Asian wearing a face mask on the subways.
It's going to happen. I mean, Donald Trump said it during his press conference. We've got masks. We've got the best masks. We've got so many masks stocked up, but we're not going to need them because April comes. It's going to get warm and the coronavirus is going to go away. That's what Donald said.
Did he say that again today or no?
No, he still never corrected it from the previous time. He also still did not correct the fact that we do not have a coronavirus vaccine. It is at the earliest 12 to 18 months away.
Jesus, that's depressing.
A little bit.
So what you're saying is that if you get it, you're more likely to die of it than a stroke or cancer or things like that.
No. I'm saying compared to the regular flu. I'm saying if you catch the flu, you've got a 0.1% chance of dying. If you catch the coronavirus, you have a 2% chance of dying.
So if I get coronavirus, I have a 98% chance of surviving it?
Yours is probably higher, because you are a relatively healthy middle-aged male. But if you were a kid or elderly, you would have a higher risk at that point. If you had an autoimmune deficiency, if you were dealing with, cancer or heart disease, you would have a higher risk of dying from the coronavirus.
So what you're saying, we're recording this on the night of Wednesday, February 26th, and obviously things can change between now and the next week. And so if you're listening to this, the perspective that we're offering is as of 9 o'clock on February 26th. You're saying that we need to take things a little bit into perspective, and it's a little premature to panic.
Yes. I mean, a week from now, the world could be on fire and I could be proven wrong, but I don't think that'll be the case.
Well, then can I ask you a question, Ron?
Always.
What are you watching?
I am watching the new show on Amazon Prime, Hunters.
The one with Al Pacino.
Al Pacino, yes, based on Nazis in the United States in the 70s.
And?
Excellent. Only two episodes in, but I will say it is an excellent. It's got a very Quentin Tarantino vibe to it. It's a little off the wall. It's violent. It's funny at times. I would recommend you check it out.
Oh my goodness! I was going to avoid it because I read so many bad reviews of it.
I mean, I could see where it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but I enjoyed it.
Interesting.
What are you watching, Brian?
I watched first off, I'm excited, though I'm holding off on it until there are more episodes. I'm very excited about the return of Better Call Saul on AMC. This past week, something that caught my eye, also on Amazon, odd that we were both watching Amazon, a documentary called Honest Man, The Life of R. Bud Dwyer. Do you remember Bud Dwyer?
He's the one who killed himself on live TV.
He was the Philadelphia state treasurer who was charged with, I believe it was conspiracy to commit fraud and accepting a bribe. And apparently this man was by definition, a straight shooter his whole career. He was God-fearing. He, was never cursed. This man was a straight arrow. And apparently he got involved with some people who believed that bribery was the way to get everywhere. And instead of pushing them out of his life immediately, he entertained some of their business contacts in regards to computer software. And this took place, I think, what was it, early 80s?
I could be wrong. Mid-80s.
The point being is that our Bud Dwyer was the was the first exposure I ever got to watching disturbing video. I remember as a kid being exposed to something called Faces of Death, which I think you and I have talked about a couple times on the podcast.
Yes.
It basically was a one-hour videotape that basically had collected videos across the world of people and animals dying. And some of these were, you know, state executions. Some of these were, you know, home videos and movies or whatnot. But Bud Dwyer was the treasurer of Pennsylvania who, instead of appealing a charge against him, decided to hold a press conference, invited the entire press into this room in the middle of the press conference. And this is all videotaped and it's part of the documentary. He hands out letters to every member of his family. To the press, asks them to deliver it for him, reaches into an envelope, takes out a handgun. And while people are sitting there screaming, basically, puts the tip of the gun into his mouth, shoots himself, immediately drops to the ground, and you watch this man bleed out. And I remember it viscerally affected me as a kid when I saw this.
I mean, even watching the video now is pretty intense.
It was insane. And if you think about it, it is now, we'll say, you know, using Ron math of, you know, how many years ago things happened, it, you know, 65 years later, and here I am on Pornhub watching two women defecate on each other, and it's barely registering any effect on me. But our Bud Dwyer's suicide literally sent me down a path of being desensitized to some of the most disturbing imagery of my life, to the point where I think a lot of my friends and peers think I'm mildly disturbed.
And clearly he was more than just mildly disturbed, unfortunately.
So when I saw that there was a documentary on Bud Dwyer, I decided, you know what, fuck it, I am going to watch this. Not necessarily worth recommending, but it was something that really connected with me. That's why I watched it. Yes, but I'm gonna give the Hunters a shot. Love Al Pacino, but I read a couple reviews that this was that made it seem like this was not going to be up my alley.
I would say just give it one episode and let me know what you think.
Will do.
All right, we reached out to some of the fans, asked give us some suggestions for things to talk about. One thing was the memorial this past week at the Staples Center for Kobe and Gianna Bryant. I believe that was Tuesday. Did you catch any of the memorial service?
None of it. Was not interested.
All right.
Really? What I saw.
That's a little harsh.
Why?
It just seems that way.
You know what? Once I'm not that big on the celebration of somebody's life after they've left.
Okay.
I think to a certain extent it is it's regretful, because I think we should be focusing on celebrating people's lives while they are alive.
That's fair.
And there's something about, you know, watching this fanfare for a person, but they had to die for it to happen.
But I think in a case where with Kobe Bryant, where, you know, it's not like he was 70 or 80. I mean, he was way too young to die. And, you know, people had said good things about him. But I think this was a chance for people to really remember Kobe as they would have wanted him to be remembered.
As the guy that that paid off the rape charge in Colorado?
There is potentially that.
Okay.
Potentially. It was.
Did you watch it?
I caught parts of it. Jimmy Kimmel hosted it. He was very choked up giving his talks. Beyonce performed. Did not allow any photographs during her performance for some reason.
Well, the Queen Bey gets to control the imagery. Was Kobe Bryant on the Kimmel show a lot?
Apparently, you know, apparently they knew each other from being out in L.A. Apparently, Kobe was also good friends with Jimmy Fallon. I don't know if Jimmy Fallon was at the memorial service. I don't believe so.
Jimmy Fallon's a New York person.
Gave a good speech. Shaq
cried.
Had some heartfelt words as well. But I mean, definitely
didn't they hate each other?
What's
I'm
that?
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Didn't Shaq and Kobe hate each other when they were teammates?
I mean, they definitely butted heads, and I think it's a case of you've got two alpha males on the same team. Both are trying to be leaders. Both are trying to be the best, and I think they just naturally butted heads. There was, of course, the famous video of Shaq rapping at a party somewhere, asking Kobe how my ass tastes. But I think they managed to bury the hatchet after that. And obviously, you know, whereas maybe they weren't the best of friends, I think, you know, they had a great respect for one another. But definitely the most heartfelt speech was from Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's wife, Gianna's mother. I can't even imagine what that would be like to, you know, have to give a speech like that. I mean, you know, again, when you get married, you know, I think there's always that thought in the back of your head, like, I'm probably going to have to potentially bury my spouse at some point. So it's tragic enough when that happens. But I don't think, as a parent, you expect that you're going to have to bury a child. And
understood.
Especially, again, at that age. So for her to keep her composure and say the things that she did about both Kobe and Gianna was incredibly touching. It definitely choked me up.
She also did... keep her composure during that press conference in Colorado.
She did as well, yes.
I mean, so this is a woman that we know can show poise under pressure.
And has also filed a lawsuit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Just hours before that heartfelt speech, Vanessa Bryant approved her lawyers to sue the operator of the helicopter for countless millions. I didn't want to know the number.
So we'll see how that all plays out. Also, listener Matt, friend of the podcast. I think we can call Matt a friend of the podcast.
Absolutely.
Asking about this past weekend's Wilder Fury boxing match, a rematch after their draw during the first their first bout. Are you a fan of the boxing, Brian?
Used to be. Now I have a hard time watching it because I believe MMA is the better sport.
All right. I'm not a huge boxing fan, but this one obviously got a ton of press. Full disclosure, put my money on Tyson Fury, doubled it up, was happy to see that. So it was definitely a spectacle. Deontay Wilder came in with some costume that was like lit up, looked kind of like the Black Panther costume, had lit up eyes. Apparently it was a tribute to Black History Month. But then he also blamed the costume for his loss. Apparently it weighed like 35 pounds. And he said just wearing it to the ring wore down his legs. He blamed the referee. He blamed his trainer. The trainer threw in the towel in the seventh round because he was getting beat up so much. So now he's insinuating that maybe the trainer was paid off by the Tyson Fury folks. So regardless, he is going to invoke his rematch clause, and we will have Wilder Fury Part 3 at some point.
Okay. All right. Will you be wagering on that as well?
You know, I will see what kind of odds I was getting. I was getting very good odds on Tyson Fury right before because there was so much money being put on Deontay Wilder that it made it worth my while to wager.
Got it. Well, I think I'm going to start asking you to provide me with your not just gambling and investing tips, because you seem to have your a good head on your shoulders, but I think you should start also giving me some life advice.
Such as?
Just in general. I feel like my life's a fucking mess.
I mean, if you want to live by the edict, what would Ron do? I mean, I think we can definitely work with that.
I think next week I will have a question for you.
Fantastic. I await it. I want to make your life decisions.
I love that. I want to be able to release myself of the responsibility of having to make those decisions.
All right, fantastic. Anything else this week, my friend?
We lack any quality celebrity deaths
this week. Correct.
Katherine Johnson, well known from her use as trailblazing mathematician, with part of the story Hidden Figures that became a Hollywood movie. She passed away at the age of 103. Clive Cussler, who apparently wrote books, died at the age of 88. But the real death this week was Hosni Mubarak.
I know you were upset with that one.
At the age of 91. He was the Egyptian leader ousted in the Arab Spring not that long ago. He passed away. And immediately, everybody has forgotten what he was also a ruthless dictator.
You know, nobody's perfect, Brian. All right, anything else?
Not really.
Am I just supposed to overlook the fact that you fucked my dad?
Still haven't yet to find a good way to work that sound effect into the show, so I'm just going to randomly play it at times.
I believe that it's something that that kid should respond to Liz Warren next time she decides to make an appearance on the show.
We'll have to keep that in mind. All right, everybody, head over to RonAndBrianPodcast.com. We'll have another Drink of the Week poll up on Facebook where you can connect to from there. You can find our Patreon, subscribe for some extra content and free swag, or just listen, rate, and review. Brian, anything else for the good of the cause?
Stay safe.
All right. See you next week, everybody.